Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks again to Dave Marcus for stopping by. Now we got another guest. We're just keeping it rolling here on a Tuesday evening as we get ready for the next to last home game of the season. Corey Brock, MLB.com, joins us on set, and we have placed him, put it up, Cholula hot seat. Corey is on the hot seat, it appears, and we're turning
Cholula.
It up on you.
Cholula.
And I'm gonna get hot seat with you right off the bat. Well, there's no settling in period
this
here.
This is different than when I call in.
That's the Cholula hotline.
Oh, okay.
Does your phone get hot? I've always wondered that when you're on the Cholula hotline.
I can't use it for a good 2 or 3 hours.
You got to let it cool off.
Yeah.
That's smart. You don't want to burn your hand or
no.
Ear. I thought it was an interesting question you posed to Buddy Black earlier, and I'll paraphrase it and ask it to you. If you were going to walk into A.J. Preller's office, Corey Brock, forget that. How about this? You're A.J. Preller. I have now made you the general manager of the San Diego Padres. What's your off-season to-do list look like?
Offense, 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 offense. I mean, right? Let's. It's pretty simple. I mean, sure, that's the kind of glib answer, I suppose. I think we could look at this roster, and it's easy to size up the shortcomings and the strengths. The pitching has been the strength of this squad from the start, and I think you're going to retain a lot of these guys moving into next year. We're talking about the starting rotation. We're talking about the bullpen. Where you're going to have to make up your shortcomings is in the order, and you're going to have to be able to scratch out a few runs. If the Padres were able to, in games where they scored one or two runs, or zero, or one or two runs, have scored three or four, what would their record look like today? And so I think what's going to have to happen is they're going to have to be creative as they go into the winter here and try and decide, okay, how are we going to upgrade the offense? And you know what I think it's going to take, Jesse? I think it's going to take having to part with one of your starting pitchers. It's going to take having to part with Andrew Cashner, Tyson Ross, or Ian Kennedy.
Realistically, how quickly do you think? I mean, that's obviously something that can happen very quickly if it works out that way. But just from like an overall standpoint, aside from maybe one major move, I mean, can they increase that offensive productivity for next year?
Yeah, I think there's some fixes out there. I think there's some non-tender guys from some other teams that you could look into. Maybe some change of scenery guys. You know, they have some pretty talented individuals in the front office there and baseball ops, and I think there'll be some guys available through free agency that you don't have to spend a ton on. But it's, you know, you're going to have to do your homework, and these guys have done their homework, and certainly you can score runs in this ballpark. You know, I think it's a myth that, you know, the guys come here and this is where batting averages go to die. You know, there is a right-handed home run in this ballpark for the right guy, and certainly a guy that can hit the ball in the gaps and can run a little bit. I think it's a nice place to play. So, you know, I think it has to be offense. I think you have to start there, and you have to find a way to improve your position player grouping.
Two-part question, Corey. There's been rumblings that the Padres are one of five teams that have a track or a possibility of signing a Cuban player that just defected from Cuba that's had a workout in the Dominican Republic in the last couple of days by the name of Yasmani Tomas. Are they really, have you heard anything about that? Are they really in the running? And if they are, and they're willing to spend that kind of money, are they also willing to spend money in the free agent market to get some of that offense?
That's a great question. I know A.J. Preller was in the Dominican Republic. Every team had a guy down there. Every team had any number of scouts down there watching this Tomas. And certainly the Cuban market has been a very hot market lately. It's produced a lot of talent. These guys, when they've come to the States, they've produced. And, you know, what that has done now is that has raised the price tag on a lot of these guys. And it will continue to do so until one of these guys comes here and, to be quite honest, falls flat on his face, you know. So I think in Tomas's case, and I haven't done a whole lot of homework in terms of his skill set, but, you know, he sounds like a very exciting player. And I don't know where he sort of fits in terms of comparing him to the other guys that have come, that have shown up recently, but my understanding is he is going to be very expensive, and I don't know exactly where that fits in terms of what they want to do here. Make no qualms about it, Ron Fowler, even before A.J. Preller was hired, was talking about making a bigger splash internationally. What is A.J. Preller known for before he was hired by the Padres in August, doing a lot of work in the Dominican and making a lot of inroads internationally? So they're going to be active there. I just don't know if that's going to be the guy or that's where you're going to pick your spot, because if you, let's say you devote all your resources or a big chunk of your resources to this guy, what does that leave domestically for you to in terms of free agents and non-tender guys? Is that the wisest move? I don't know. If you really believe that's the guy and you need to go after him and that's someone you could build around, then go for it.
One of the things I've learned kind of getting to be around general managers, and this goes in different sports, it's just sort of a thing, you know, the last few years, is they'll value a guy and they'll scout him. And this is a pretty extreme example, obviously, because he's going to be bid on by – it's not a draft situation. It's almost like a recruiting free agency frenzy with somebody like Yasmani Tomas. But, you know, the organization and the general manager, they're going to say, we think he's worth up to X dollars for our purposes. And if they can get him for X, they'll have him. And if they can't, then they won't. You know, I mean, it's a very rigid system almost that these guys seem to put in place. And they say, hey, yeah, for this amount of money, I would do it. For more, I wouldn't. And if I can get it for less, even better. But, you know, that's kind of how it works. And, you know, obviously what one team values him at is going to be different, you know, than what a different team values him at. And sometimes that's about your own economics as much as anything. But it's, like, far more simple, I feel like, than we sometimes talk about it when it comes to those sorts of things. That's just an observation I've made the last couple of years. I want to ask you both a question. Kurt Bavacqua and Corey Brock, who's on Twitter at Follow the Padres, and who's on Twitter at Kurt Bavacqua. Just kind of turn the attention back to this year for a moment. And, Kurt, you can go first. If I put you in a corner and I said you have to name me your Padres MVP for 2014, A, is it an easy question for you to answer? And B, who would you go with?
It's an easy question right now. It wasn't about 2 to 4 weeks ago. But my vote goes to Rene Rivera. I think he's kept the pitching staff together on this ball club. As you mentioned earlier in the show, he's hit 291 since the All-Star break. This is a guy that's put himself in a position to not only catch a lot of games for this ball club in 2015, but also freed up a guy that I think this ball club has a lot of hopes in offensively, in Yasmani Grandal, with possibly being able to play first base and forcing other moves. I mean, it's a good thing for Buddy Black to have.
And it's a good thing for Grandal also to get out from behind the plate. And I think, you know, the ship hasn't sailed for him on catching. I think they still envision him being a catcher. He's going to catch this winter. But I'm with you. I'm with you on Rivera. I think this is a great story. And this guy's at 31 years old, sort of found himself again with the Padres. The catcher's caught stealing numbers we've talked about. The pitch framing, stealing strikes for your pitcher, the communication, the trust level that these guys have with him, and not to mention the offensive numbers that he's put up. And I think you could live with all that, especially, you know, you know, as far as an everyday catcher, if you're getting your offense from other places throughout the lineup. This guy's an everyday big league catcher. He made the team as a third catcher and stole the job away from Nick Hundley, stole the job away from Yasmani Grandal. And, you know, this is someone who, you know, if you have had any conversations with him, you could tell how much he's enjoying the game. And I know that may sound kind of cliche, but I would tell people at home, and I've had this experience with other players who have, you know, hit the bottom rung of baseball and have had to come back from being waived, being released, and had to play independently ball, and have had to sit at home and wait for the phone to ring, and had to work your way all the way back up. They get it.
Yeah.
They're appreciative of everything they get, and he is enjoying himself.
All right. Well, one more from me. I want to go big picture baseball for a moment. Major League Baseball, I think yesterday it was announced, they're going to form a committee, pace of game committee. They're going to try and speed things up for 2015, and it's some of the same people that head up the replay committee from last year, and we probably chuckled at that, but, hey, look, they got it in, you know, after spring training, you know, to be part of the game for the 2014 season. So I'm not going to underestimate them. But if we put you, Corey, on the pace of game committee, you know, where would you go with it? What would you want to say?
He's the only one you need.
Could we have had them start?
What is a committee for? What is
it? You're right.
Could we have had them start last night?
1-0 almost 3 hours.
Yeah, almost 3 hours.
That's so, why there's a problem.
Well, and it's – I think, Jesse, maybe we talked about this maybe a week or so ago. We were I think the Independent Atlantic League instituted a lot of changes in terms of trying to speed up play, trying to – the batter keeping a foot in the box. The pitcher, if no one's on base, you have 12 seconds to deliver your pitch. Trying to really limit all that time that the batter has, you know, adjusting his batting gloves and all that. The big thing, and I think that this all sounds wonderful. I just wonder how you enforce it. And so I think these guys have a big challenge ahead of them. I think it sounds really simple with some of these things that you could propose changing, but I'm just not quite sure how we put the hammer down to make these changes to really enforce them. But, I applaud the effort. I'm glad there's a committee. I'll be really curious to see how they move forward with this.
I don't think they can make many changes.
Really?
Except the 12-second rule is something they can enforce right now tonight, and they can do it right away, and it's going to change the amount of time that it takes to play a game. Now, drastically, no. Maybe 7 to 12 minutes you might be talking about, and I think on the high line is 12 minutes. But you're not going to change other stuff. And with commercial time and the money needed for broadcast revenue, it's just going to be there. Enjoy your 3.5 hours. Get used to it. And we're watching some pretty damn good baseball. I like that part of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and to me, it's a pace issue as much as anything. And obviously, they're not disconnected. You know, pace of game leads into length of game and time of game. But, yeah, if I'm watching a 3-hour, 10-minute game that's action-packed, I'm fine. The ones that hurt are kind of like last night. I think that's what Corey was alluding to. You get a 1-0 game. There's not really a ton happening. You know, there were some innings that should have been on paper quick innings that weren't, just because of some of the ancillary stuff that takes place, the stepping out and the waiting and the long pauses and all of that. But it is what it is. It'll be interesting to see what they can do.
You're right about the action-packed games, Jesse. You don't notice those are 3 hours and 10 minutes. So those go by because you're dialed in, and you look up and you're like, "Oh, geez, you know, we've been sitting here 3.5 hours, but I didn't notice."
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's Corey Brock, MLB.com. He's on Twitter at Follow the Padres. Hey, really have enjoyed having you on all season long. Appreciate it as we wind this thing down, and thanks for coming by one more time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
You know what? It's our pleasure.
Wonderful.
That's Corey Brock on the Cholula hot seat.
Seat's not that hot.
No, yeah.
No,
it
it's
wasn't
a myth.
Too bad today. We turned it down for you. You're a friend. Cholula hot sauce, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the green pepper sauce flavor today. It's not just about the heat. It's the flavor. You know, that's really what it's all about. While Corey's here, by the way, let's have some fun. We'll do our picture of the day presented by Sony. The picture is taken on the new RX10 Sony camera. Visit the Sony store at Fashion Valley to check out their cameras today. I'm always so excited to see what the picture of the day is going to be. What am I looking at here, Blooper?
The anchor for second base.
That's the anchor for second base?
Yeah.
That's what second base sits on?
Yes.
You sure about that?
That's according to Nikki.
You pull it.
Well, he just passed the buck really quickly, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes. I had to ask her.
You pull it out of the ground.
And that's what you see.
And then they insert the steel rod.
Those things.
No, down into the hole that keeps the dirt from going into.
I see. So that's there as a placeholder when the base isn't anchored.
Exactly.
If you're listening on the radio, it looks like some sort of carrot growing out of the ground. But, like, it's a julienne. It's like a small little pieces.
That's the
worst picture of the day we've had all season.
On a major league field, they're at 90 feet.
Right.
It's easy to figure out. You go to a rec ball field.
Yeah.
And see all of them that are out there.
They just stick up there. So
there's 60 feet, 70 feet,
sure.
75 feet, 80
okay.
feet.
Yeah. That's art. It was a nice-looking photograph. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know that they had
like
much.
Carrot reference.
Yeah, it's like an orange. Never mind.
Who takes the photos?
It's a team effort.
Oh, okay.
What really matters is the photos are taken on the new RX10, which you can pick up at the Sony store at Fashion Valley. It takes a beautiful photograph.
Right.
You just sometimes the person who's pressing the button and looking through the deal. You know.
Well, we know you didn't take it after you.
I think Nikki took this one. I can tell by the look in her eyes.
Yeah, by the angry face she's making.
There it is.
Can't we blame Blooper? Blooper, that was – come on.
I actually told her it was one of my favorites this year.
All right. You know what? I love it. I love the picture of the day.
I liked it,
Nice
too.
Job, Nikki. Thank you.
Beautiful.
As always, for all of your efforts.
There it is again.
It's baseball art, really. No, I mean, look, hey, if we're talking from a photographic standpoint, you've got great lighting. You've got it's in the right – it's in the lower third. That's what they always talk about, right? It casts a beautiful shadow. It's just, you know.
That's regular Ansel Adams right there.
That's it, man. Andy Leibowitz would be impressed.
Viewers learned something today that they don't normally learn on the show from Nikki's picture.
Yeah, nothing from us.
Neil Leifer is calling up right now, and he wants to talk to whoever took that picture and pat them on the back. That's how good it was.
Good for her.
We got a Neil Leifer reference in today.
Jeez.
One of the great sports photographers of all time.
Still blushing.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. Get some of your questions, tweet at us, join the chat, whatever it is. More Padres Social Hour right after this.